on me.
Bringing you the best new and emerging music before anyone else.
On digital radio in London and Dublin.
On your mobile with the Amazing Radio app.
And around the world at amazingradio.com.
This is Amazing Radio.
The Other Woman on Amazing Radio with Ruth Barnes.
Out with the old.
And the Party of Shaitan, kicking off The Other Woman on this Saturday afternoon. We are celebrating International Women's Day all weekend. How are you? Welcome along. Ruth Barnes with you. And I hope you're doing something special. We have a lot of ladies all over the network today. That's what we're all about. And why not? I always use International Women's Day as an opportunity to get a kick-ass musician onto the show who is not taking any crap from the industry, doing things fiercely and independently on their own terms. So last year it was Little Boots, you might remember. We talked about her brush with the mainstream superstardom, walking away from it all, starting her own record label. This year, I have another extraordinary and inspirational talent in the studio. She recently had her beautiful album, Floriat, dubbed one of the best albums of the decade by Fact Magazine. She's worked with Matthew Herbert, Joe Goddard, Plaid, The Invisible, and she's constantly pushing the boundaries between rock, pop, jazz, and well, well beyond. She's also a kick-ass musical saw player. Yeah, I know. It's Mara Carlisle. She's my guest coming up very, very soon. But first, let's hear from this brand new upload to AmazingTunes.com. See what you make of this, The Phantom Sound, and Get to Me. Yes, you there. Welcome to The Other Woman. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Ruth. Thank you for having me. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Really excited to have you on as my special guest, my very special guest for International Women's Day. Because what I do every year is I just think, who is somebody who I'd like to get on the show to talk to you about just being cool, doing things a bit different, possibly, being independent, having had an interesting relationship, shall we say, with the music industry over the years. And you ticked all those boxes this year. And also because I met you at a party and you're lovely. And I just thought, should I get Mara in? She's the kind of someone I'd like to have her number on my phone. Sounds a bit creepy, but now I do.
Now you do.
Yeah. So just, you know, careful about that. So it's wonderful to have you on the show.
and it's weird. I was trying to come up with like an intro for you, so I've come up with musician, but also broadcaster, because of course the last year you have also been presenting on the radio, haven't you?
Yeah, on Radio 3. I've joined the roster of presenters on Late Junction,
yeah,
which is one of my favourite shows, and I've been a guest on it as a musician and as an artist over the last 10 years, I guess. And then they asked me completely out of the blue if I'd have a go at presenting. And yeah, it's been an incredibly steep learning curve, but I've loved every minute of it.
Live radio. Well, it's interesting because it might have come out of the blue to you, for you, but I think when it was put out there that you were going to be presenting Late Junction, it wasn't a huge stretch for the listeners, because it's obviously a programme that's very diverse. I mean, you'll hear anything and everything on Late Junction, and I think you're someone as a musician who's associated with that. You know, there's not one thing that you do. I mean, I think as I saw somewhere once someone described you as a singer-songwriter, and I was like, really? Come on. That's really not what's going on here. But I think that's probably what they liked, was because you're that musician that seems to span a lot of genres. And
yeah, I've always had my fingers in a lot of different musical pies, and the music that I make is a sort of eclectic kind of magpie thievery melange of different styles. So it's quite easy for me to talk about different genres and styles of music. I'm not an expert in anything at all. I'm a proper jack of all trades, basically. But it means I can just about get away with sounding relatively convincing talking about these very diverse styles of music.
I think you do it very well. Very well indeed. The first time I came across you and your music wasn't actually anything specific. I think it wasn't a release, I mean. But it was just you as this kind of extraordinary musical saw player, which then led me into listening to your albums. So tell us, I mean, it's not every day I have a musical saw, a genius on the show. Tell me about your relationship with that instrument.
It's the only instrument that I play well, actually. I'm very proud of it. I often get described as a multi-instrumentalist, which is total nonsense, basically. I play a lot of different instruments really badly, but the musical saw I play very well, I like to say. And I've played it for years. I was in Bath a long time ago, and I heard the sound basically before I knew what was making the sound. It's such a distinctive, eerie, beautiful sound. And I followed the sound kind of through the streets with my ear, like the Bisto kids in that advert following the gravy smell. And there was some busker playing the saw. He was playing I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston.
Classic.
And I completely fell in love. And it's something I don't like to play it too often. It's quite a strong, you know, it's a very strong flavour. It's a bit like anchovy. It's a kind of musical equivalent, anyway, of anchovy. It's good to have a little, but too much can drive your ears a bit crazy.
Yeah, it's good to have as a base, maybe. Anchovy is very good base for sauces.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if maybe the musical saw could also be a good base for things. But I do think it's an extraordinary thing to kind of make your own. And it's interesting that you say it's the one thing that you really feel like you play well. That's fantastic. I wonder if there could have been a career as you just kind of pimping yourself out as a session musical saw player. Or does that happen?
I do get asked, actually. Yeah, I do get asked to do saw
sessions.
You're
the go-to person for saw sessions.
There's a couple of us, actually, in London. We're a little unique band of random saw players, but we all kind of know each other. It's a fun thing to do.
It does. It sounds like a lot of fun. Okay, now the reason why you're here as well is to play us some of your current favourites, musical favourites, which of course people can hear you do when you sit in on Late Junction, but also just a couple of the people who you're really excited about. And I saw that you'd played Kate Tempest on Late Junction.
Yeah.
And you must be a fan. Do you like the young Kate?
I think she's a bit of a genius, actually, and I don't use that word lightly. I've been aware of her music and her poetry since I heard her Sound of Rum stuff that she did years ago, and in fact I think I played her on my very first Late Junction show. I'd been to see her spoken word play called Brand New Ancients, which is kind of a musical 60 minute spoken word piece. It's completely incredible, and she let me play an excerpt of that, and then she's just made this, you know, last year made this record with Dan Carey, who produced my last record. And it's just, oh, it's just so inventive, and I have absolutely no doubt that she'll go on to do completely extraordinary things, and that her name will linger long after all of ours have dimmed.
Beautifully put. This is Kate Tempest and Lonely Days on Amazing Radio.
Pete is a young man, heart full of rain, eyes full of evenings spent in a dream. Grew up in a city where you master your pain or you end up numb, not feeling. Becky is a young woman, heart full of earth, eyes full of mourning spent without sleeping. Grew up in a city where it's hard to be heard and nothing really has much meaning. Pete had his heart broke once, he never fixed it. Sits there in his chest with his arms crossed ruined. Becky had her heart broke twice, she won't risk it again. She don't wanna see her heart get ruined. And now she's on her way to wash up and take the orders for spaghetti at Giuseppe's, the cafe on the corner. She did the night shift too, a masseuse at the sauna. She's putting herself through uni, it's hard work. But will it be this way forever? These are lonely days. What if she could be the one that makes it better? He looks away, can't hold her gaze. But will it be this way forever? These are stressful times. What if he could be the one that gets her? She looks away, she's petrified. Now have you thought about retail? Yes, fine with me. Oh, and I can see here that you have a degree. Yes, says Pete, and international relations. Great, let's see if Primark has space for a placement. Becky clears off from the lunch rush, crushed by the blank eyes. Impolite customers frosting their damn fives into a palm. She thinks there ain't no harm in being civil, though, is there? He folds up his job form, gets up from his chair. The next person sits down with a similar air of dejection. He walks out, heads in the direction of the cafe on the corner for a coffee and some headroom. This guy comes in, the first customer to close the door behind him. For that alone, she likes him. He sits at the table by the window, reading, half smiling. His hair's messy and his eyes are shining. Can't think what to say, he just stares blankly. Picks up his change, fiddles with his spoon. And as he leaves the cafe, he's consumed with force of her, wishing that he got up the guts to try and talk to her.
Will it be this way forever? These are lonely days. What if she could be the one that makes it better? He looks away, can't hold her gaze. And will it be this way forever? These are stressful times. What if he could be the one that gets her? She looks away, she's petrified.
It's Becky's mate's birthday, they're out for the night. Now Becky's mate is a nightmare type. She flirt with anyone, scream at the top of her voice. But it's her birthday, so Becky don't really have a choice. He sees her in the queue, he doesn't know what to do. She's more beautiful than he remembers. Then she says, alright. And he tries to say something funny but stutters, and now he feels like a muppet. Flush. Inside it's the usual scene. They're dancing at the bar, waiting to get served. Becky's mate screaming about something absurd, and they're all fake laughing, even though nobody heard. So now he's hunting round the room, staring into every booth. The back of every head could be hers, it's no use. He stops by the bar, thinking man, I'll never find her. And then he realises that he's standing beside her. She stands there awkward, his eyes are as loud as the bass. And she can recognise something in his face. She scribbles down a number, lingering glance. And she lets herself think, maybe this could be her chance.
But will it be this way forever? These are lonely days. What if she could be the one that makes it better?
Amazing Radio.
We are Bridie and Jenny from Bridie Jackson and the Arbor, and we're here playing tunes.
An International Women's Day special.
This is a special one-off show where we'll be playing our favourite female artists.
Bridie Jackson and Jenny Nendick.
And I actually heard Dot for the first time at Glastonbury. In the same year that we played, and I just pretty much fell in love with them the second that they started playing.
Secret Dr. James.
The track is actually about a Dr. James who pioneered surgeries like the cesarean section. And when he died, they discovered that he was actually a woman.
Bridie Jackson and Jenny Nendick's International Women's Day special.
I feel like we're being very smooth with our links now.
I know. It's good, isn't it? It's almost like we've done it before.
It is.
We haven't.
No.
Tomorrow at 12 on Amazing Radio.
Amazing Radio.
You heard it here first. Leave it up, leave it up, leave it up.
The very beautiful Gazelle Twin and Guts. Before that, you heard Kate Tempest and Lonely Days, two in a row picked by my guest for International Women's Day, who is the fantastic multi-instrumentalist and expert saw player, Mara Carlisle, who joins me in the studio. Gazelle Twin, wonderful there. She recorded a session for us a couple of years ago.
Oh, did she?
And it was just wonderful. I mean, she pushed our engineers and our producer to the edge.
I bet.
But it was amazing. And I mean, that is just such a beautiful track. So tell me about your love for her.
Well, I honestly hadn't heard of her until this second record, Unflesh, came out a few months ago. And I don't often completely fall for a whole record. I think the last time this happened to me was Kendrick Lamar's Good Kid, Mad City, actually. But I think everything about this record is brilliant. I think that she's such an interesting voice, such an interesting producer. This record makes me so excited. I'm really hoping to get her in to do a collaboration session on Lake Junction at some point, actually. And I saw a very short performance that she did with for the London Short Film Festival. And she's just, yeah, extremely charismatic. And but just the quality of the music is brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. I can't wait to see what she does in the future.
Yeah, no, neither can we. It's a ditto on all of that, basically. Now, let's get round to your own music. Two albums that you've mentioned already. The Lovely, which was released on Matthew Herbert's label Accidental. Yeah. Kind of many moons ago now, right?
10 years. I'm not the most prolific songwriter in the world. two records. In 10 years, that's pretty slow going.
That's how they used to knock them out in the old days. That was okay, you know? Right. Now people are expected like a record every 6 months or else, you know, you're off the map. So
right. No, I'm like a slow cook casserole kind of a girl.
like that. More food analogies, please. And then there's the beautiful Floriat.
Yeah.
Yes. Which was eventually released on Ancient and Modern. But this is the record that you sort of had. It was a weird time in the music industry. And it's funny because I remember this time because I was working at Six Music on their music news team, and we were constantly running these stories about EMI being bought out by Terra Firma, and none of us really knew what the hell we were saying. We were just sort of reporting this story and just going like, I don't know, yeah, this city, something in the city, bankers, I think, not really sure. And it sounds like you were caught up in the eye of that storm and what happened there, which really said so much about the shifting industry at the time. So what, they sort of said, you're signed, let's do an album. What happened?
No, so I was signed and I made the
you
record.
You made it, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and
with Dan Carey.
With Dan Carey, and, you know, had the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra playing on it. It was an absolute, I'd poured my heart and soul into making that record. Five years it took, I guess, all in all. And I was really excited about it coming out. But just that the release date coincided with this takeover by Terra Firma. the reality of which was, you know, they came in and there was just huge restructuring. It was like
massive redundancies.
Yeah,
and
it was
things,
like a bloodbath. It was a total bloodbath. Yeah. But on a practical level, that meant that one minute you'd be having a phone call with the person who was doing your artwork, and you phone them the next day, and they just wouldn't be there. And it was just, it was total chaos. And I was just, but what about my album?
Yeah, does anyone care about me and my art? And you bastards.
And of course, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of EMI artists, and yeah, I was at the bottom of a pile that kind of begins with Kylie. Oof. And Coldplay, and anyway,
yeah.
But yeah. So, but I was very fortunate though that it didn't. We managed to kind of pull it from the schedule, because it would have been much worse, I think, had it been released, because it wouldn't have been possible to work it, and it would have literally just kind of flumped out.
And was that your decision? Did you say, I need this to not?
Yeah, with my A&R, we both were like, okay, let's wait for the dust to settle, and then
it's quite a brave thing to do, to say, actually, I don't want EMI to release this.
Well, there was no I mean, that was at that time that decision was made, as in let's wait for the dust to settle and see what happens when the new boss comes in and blah blah blah. But 6 months later, when things had settled, I was, you know, they were like, what would you like to do with this record? And I was like, I could just, if you could just give it back to me, and I'll just take it, and I'll sneak out the back door, and nobody will notice. And they were like, okay, fine, because I think they were also like, who are you again? But then it was, but then the realities of the legal stuff, getting it back from them was very different. And
are we talking kind of years of wrangling?
It was another 6 months. It was a year in total, and I was pretty broken by the end.
I'm not surprised.
And of course, the music industry had completely changed in that time. So then, trying to find the right label to put out after that was a hell of a slog. So it was, and then it was, so it was actually 4 years after I made the record before it came out.
How strange. That's a really long time. You must have been a bit like, what? I don't really understand what's going on here. This is weird. It's really weird.
Yeah, it wasn't fun.
It sounds like have you been slightly traumatized by that? Are you kind of like, that was a thing that happened specifically because it was a major label going through, you know, this massive disaster zone?
I think I probably was a bit traumatized, but there are much worse things happen at sea. So to be honest with you.
Spoken like a true sailor. Yes.
You know, it was a really sad and difficult, frustrating time, just because I had put so much into that record. But you know, and then it did come out and got nice reviews and all
that. I mean, it was the, I think it, you did the right thing, says Ruth Barnes. You can put that on your LinkedIn. But yeah, I think that absolutely, because otherwise it would just sunk in amongst all this kind of EMI flotsam and jetsam that was knocking around, that they were just kind of putting out because they had to. But it did get you loads of wonderful reviews. And was it a track from that album that was on the IKEA Cats commercial?
Well, that's what was weird. It was actually a track from my first record, The Lovely, that got used on that really cute
really
IKEA
cute.
Cats
I mean,
advert.
Cats in an IKEA advert, what's not to like, you know?
But it was because of that, actually, that I was then able to get... I was then able to release Floriat.
Ah, okay.
Because, yeah, that came out, and then all of a sudden people were like, hang on a minute, didn't she make a record for EMI? Whatever happened to that?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, yep, I'm still here.
Hi everyone. Okay, we're going to talk more about that, because I want to talk to you more about that kind of whole sync world as well, because it's a wild and interesting beast, which I know that artists who listen to The Other Woman are very interested in. But let's move on to your next artiste. Coming up now, one of my total favourite, Jessica Hoop. So wonderful. Yeah, I know. That's kind of what I do when I think about her. I think she's awesome.
She's extraordinary. Yeah. And have you seen her perform live?
Yes, it's a wonderful thing.
I find her her singing, the way she performs, is so inspiring. I mean, she's so technical. And her phrasing is extraordinary. And she's had me singing with her a couple of times, kind of doing backing vocal stuff. And it's impossible. Her phrasing is so delicate and so intricate. She's a real proper singer with an incredible range, and I love her storytelling. She is unique. She really is unique. And there's loads of singer-songwriters doing similar things, but she definitely has her own little pigeonhole.
She does.
Mark's Jessica.
She's one of those people who, for me, every song is an earworm. Every song I go back to, there is never a dud. I mean, Hunting My Dress, the album, was just, it just floored me, yeah. I think. Yeah, extraordinary stuff. So let's hear the track. It's Jessica Hoop, and this is Murder of Birds, and it's actually from Undressed, the record she did where she teamed up with loads of cool people to sing her songs, and on this one she's teamed up with Guy Garvey.
Oh,
Jessica Hoop and Murder of Birds singing with Guy Garvey. So beautiful. Their voices just merge so beautifully on that. This is The Other Woman here on Amazing Radio. Ruth Barnes currently in conversation with Mara Carlisle, who's my guest for International Women's Day, which is awesome. We've just talked about the kind of amazing change that can happen in a musician's life when a big brand comes along and goes, you there, I pick your track to go on our massive, you know, international ad campaign or whatever it is. And this happened to you, and it then enabled you to release your album.
Yeah, it didn't quite happen to me in that
come
sense.
On, let's go with that vision of what happened.
It wasn't exactly international, but yeah, it was definitely crucial in terms of raising my profile at that moment.
Did you have a sync agent then? Did someone or
no.
someone at IKEA just was it Mara Carlisle?
Yeah, but well, actually, yeah, I think it turns out that the person who wrote the copyright, I think his initial idea for the record for the commercial was that it would feature one of my songs.
Okay.
But you know, my music is often used as temp tracks when people are making commercials, but it never gets past the client because it's always considered too weird. So it was just a really lovely thing. But obviously, yeah, the landscape of the music industry has changed so drastically, and everyone's like Charlie Bucket, you know, hoping for the little golden ticket, which is really strange. It's a really strange set of motivations that people now have for making music. It's really weird.
It is weird, and I guess it's because that's the only way you can sustain, you know, being able to make music and being creative, I suppose, without just working some awful job. I mean, whenever I do these sort of, you know, music industry myth-busting days of, like, how to figure out what you're doing, yada, yada, the sync thing we do is always completely oversubscribed, you know, because people are just there. And there's a real air of desperation. It's like, okay, I'm an independent artist. I make, you know, maybe I'm a singer-songwriter. I make really nice folk music. I'm probably never going to get signed to a good label that's going to give me any decent money. But, you know, I've got fans who like me and that kind of thing. But a sync deal would just be that one thing.
Yeah.
That would come in and really make a difference now. And it's just, it's kind of a crazy situation to be in, because you really are in the business of selling your tracks as kind of marketable consumer commodities.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is weird.
It's a really strange thing, and it's a real lottery. And of course, you know, I guess generally speaking, the more successful you are, the more likely you are to get synced as well.
So there's
a correlation between that as well. But oh, I don't know, Ruth. I don't know where it's all going.
have you ever been tempted, out of being a pure cynic, to come up with like a side project, no one knows it's you, and you just do these songs that would just be brilliant on ads?
I can't believe you me, if I was able to make music like that, I would be doing it. I really, really would, because I have no problem. My conscience has no problem with it whatsoever. But I just can't. I'm really, really bad. You know, anytime...
You're too cool for your own good.
Oh, that's what it is.
God damn it.
You know, it's really hard, and there are some people who are really good at that.
Yeah.
And... that, you know, because you often get asked to do vague pastiches of things. Can you do something that sounds like this?
Yes.
And I'm just really bad at it. Really, really bad at it. But there we go.
Hey, you'll always have the IKEA ad. It's okay. You've got that. All good. So something that you do beautifully, is this kind of blend of musical styles. It's very effortless. It doesn't see, you know, when you're listening to it, you're not thinking like, whoa, this is crossover that I'm listening to, which is just kind of an ick description anyway of anyone's music. It just feels so natural and so effortless. So what was your training? What was your background? I have visions of you at some conservatory somewhere, you know, learning classical music what was the journey?
Well, I just grew up in a musical family, and we just kind of played everything and all different kinds of music. So I had a punk band with my brothers when I was tiny, and I sang in musicals and folk clubs, and then in like indie bands, but also was singing in like church choir every Sunday and learning classical, and then I did a bit of opera. But again, as I said earlier, just such a jack of all trades. I never focused on any genre of music.
Or it never felt like one thing was you, that really was your way, means
so.
Of expression or something like that, yeah.
I guess so, but I think the advantage to that is that it was then easier for me to see connections between different styles that perhaps aren't always so obvious to, say, to someone who's, you know, who's completely immersed in a world. So, like, one of the first things that I worked on was this arrangement of a bit of Schumann from his Dichterliebe, and it's this, you know, really thumping Germanic kind of art song sung by a baritone. But I'd always heard the chords as this much more of a sort of, you know, like a really yearning kind of jazz standard. And so I didn't actually, when I did this arrangement of it, I didn't really change the chords at all, but it was just because I could always hear that. But I think a few people were quite surprised in a pleasant way.
Yeah.
That I was hearing that. And I think maybe that's what it is. I hear things that aren't necessarily immediately obvious.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. That, I think that, in a way, that's the one thing that runs through as the common element, maybe, in the music.
Yeah. I don't know, but it's always been a struggle, I think, and also for kind of critics and reviewers as well. They've all said the same thing, you know, impossible to pigeonhole, impossible to describe.
Because they have to.
I
mean, it's very hard.
Yeah, and I think...
You make it very difficult for them.
No, but I've now, whenever anybody asks me now, you know, so what kind of music do you make? I always say, I make music that's hard to describe, but easy to listen to.
Beautiful, exactly.
Because it's not like it's not sonically challenging or
not
kind of any
all.
Weird atonal or like death metal or something like that. It's, you know, it's quite, you know, a lot of people's mums like it.
Which is amazing, actually. As someone who's about to become a mum, I'm all for mum music. Sounds great. Okay, we're going to move on to another track and then we're going to keep talking. But this is a band who are just fab. All We Are. We're big fans. We love them. From Liverpool. Great. Groovy as hell. We're going to play I Wear You. Tell me about this band.
Yeah, we saw them play the other night, didn't we?
Yeah.
They're really sexy.
They're so sexy.
In a really understated, really understated way. But they...
Guro on bass is just amazing.
So hot.
What she does with her pelvis is
she's just such a sick bass player as well. She's so good. And they apparently rehearse. You know, they've only got one record out, but apparently they're constantly, constantly crafting their performance. And I think that's really apparent when you see them live. But I love that. I don't know whether it's their own description or whether it's a press description of them as being the Bee Gees on diazepam.
It's perfect.
It's brilliant. Yeah. I love this tune.
Here we go.
Keep it down, keep it right.
We Are and I Wear You, as chosen by my guest for International Women's Day, Mara Carlisle. So, Mara, two records in 10 years, The Lovely and Floriat, which people can obviously go and purchase and listen to because they are so beautiful. Just please go and do that. But obviously, Floriat now, I mean, we're going back actually to when you made it. We're going back quite a long, quite a long time. But let's just leave that there. It's now 2015. So what's going on in the Mara Carlisle musical universe?
Funny you should ask that. I have actually just started making another record.
Well, there you go.
Which slightly took me by surprise. Last year was very dominated by learning how to be a radio presenter and also being I was a musical director for the opening night of James Lavelle's Meltdown, and that was kind of 3 months of intense work, kind of arranging and organising this, you know, this massive concert with an orchestra and arranging Uncle Tunes, and it was really amazing. Incredible. But yeah, it was at the end of last year, and I hadn't performed because I've been so focused on the radio show. And then Golf Rap asked me to open for them at the Royal Albert Hall, and so I went and did my first solo show in a year at the Royal Albert Hall, which was incredible. And it was a bit of, oh yes, I'm a singer. I forgot about that. And then over Christmas, yeah, I've started pulling a record together. It's quite exciting. It's going to be a bit dark. And I don't think it's going to sound like any of my previous music. So remains to be seen. But I really, for obvious reasons, I want to get it done very quickly.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to, I don't know if it's utter fantasy, but I'm hoping to have it finished within the next couple of months.
Well, are you working with Dan Carey again?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing some work with Dan. I'm going to be working on it a bit with Max de Wardener, who's a brilliant composer and friend of mine. I just want to do it quick.
Okay.
Basically, just get it out.
So you've got the summer wrapped up, basically.
That's it.
And what a great time to make a record, I think. Although, if it's dark, maybe winter might have been better. But I don't know, I'm just saying, you know.
Well,
it's still seasonal about these things.
It's still pretty dark.
And why has it gone dark? Is the darkness there because of just the way your creative process has gone? Or is it a bit of a sort of, we just had a conversation before we came on air about how cynical we both are about everything, the industry and just generally people in general. Is it because as you get older, we just get darker? Is that what happens?
No, I don't think so. I think I've always been pretty well acquainted with my dark side, but I think you can hear that. You've always been able to hear that in my music, I reckon, but I have a tendency to try and sweeten the kind of darkness or shed some light or try and make things better or try and make things sound more beautiful. And I think for whatever reason, I've just decided to try and just sit in the dark a little bit and not try and make it all better, you know? I don't know, as I say, it's happening without me really realising, so.
I can't wait. I cannot wait to hear it. So listen, will you put a song on Amazing Tunes when it's ready? Go on. Yeah, I've got her on air saying she'll do it. Woo! Simon Raymond and me, we're going to be like, finally, we've done it. Well, listen, thank you so much and good luck with that. Sounds really exciting. Thanks for coming on the show. And yes, like I said, people must go and purchase The Lovely and Floriat, two beautiful records. And we're going to end with Leanne Lahavis and Final Form from a singer-songwriter, beautiful woman. Yeah.
I actually think she's just one of the best singers. Someone else that I've had the privilege of singing with as well. I think it's only a matter of time before she's a proper global superstar, kind of Beyonce style. She's so talented, like jaw-droppingly talented. Her singing is incredible, and she's also a fantastic guitarist, actually, which doesn't often get spoken about. And
typically, of course, because she's a woman who sings, so yes. Like, who cares if she plays the guitar? Whatever, shut
completely
up.
Completely irrelevant.
Yeah. Can we just get a man in to play the guitar for her, please?
She's a brilliant guitarist, and I really love this arrangement of it's Final Form by Everything. I think it's an improvement on the original, personally.
Just say it. Get it out there. Let's do it. This is Leanne Le Havas on Amazing Radio, and thanks so much to Mara Carlisle for being my guest on International Women's Day.
Thank you so much for having me.
What is that incessant howling coming from your Mangamore? Oh, you breathe 10 towers out. He gave you power.
And Final Form, my final choice from Mara Carlisle, my guest on this International Women's Day. What a pleasure to have her in the studio. What an inspiration. And we will bring you new music from Mara as soon as we can. But do dig out Floriat. If there's one that you dig out, do go and find that album. It's beautiful. Go and buy it. Go and download it. Absolutely gorgeous stuff. And of course, you can hear Mara Carlisle on Radio 3 presenting her favourite tunes on Late Junction. And she's just generally
around doing cool stuff. And what a joy to have her join me for International Women's Day. So I'm saying goodbye and I'm handing over to the front porch. Baylen Leonard has got 2 hours of the best of Americana country and folk and International Women's Day special. All female artists, all female fronted bands, the way I like it. My name's been Ruth Barnes. I'm still Ruth Barnes. This has been The Other Woman. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll be back next week, of course, same time with an hour of the best of new music from female artists, female fronted bands, all found, of course, at amazingtunes.com. I needed a little song to end on, so I thought I'd go to the brilliant Viennese grunge rock label Fet Cacao and bring you Lime Crush. This is Graveyard. Balin's next.
One, two, three, four.
Amazing Radio. Get Amazing Radio on the move with your mobile phone or tablet. With the Amazing Radio app, you can listen live, watch session videos, read the latest blog, and share tracks via Facebook and Twitter. The Amazing Radio app, free from Google Play and the App Store. Amazing Radio. You heard it here first.
London and Dublin.
On your mobile with the Amazing Radio app.
And around the world at amazingradio.com.
This is Amazing Radio.
I'm gonna make my way. Out to the front porch. Gonna make my way. Out to the front porch. And then I'm gonna listen to Amazing Radio. Baylen Leonard, it's his show. Oh yeah.
Well, howdy there, and welcome along to the front porch here on Amazing Radio. I'm Baylen Leonard.
I eat supper.